This is the world broadcast of W.D. Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to truth and justice for humanity. And now, Imam W.D. Muhammad of the World Community of Al-Islam in the West.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
A trend seen by Almighty God, and He revealed this trend to the prophets. It was a growing in the hearts and the minds of the people of falsehood and hunger for things of the flesh and a kind of hypocritical commitment to religion. For the Holy Quran says here in this verse, for that mankind did not believe with assurance in our signs. That there were many people in the religion who were not really in the religion, but their hearts and their minds were in something else. Things that would only serve them. And that their allegiance was not a true allegiance. They were not really firmly grounded in faith. And they took the signs and the promises of Almighty God lightly. They didn't seriously believe in those signs and wonders. But God revealed it to His prophets that there's coming a time, don't fret yourself over the condition of these people. You know, the man who's sincere and really totally committed to serve God and the good cause in society, it pains his heart and he suffers a lot because he's so often disappointed. He struggles and he gives of himself. He sacrifices himself. He prays to God and seeks God all the night long, sometimes staying up the whole night. He comes out in the morning and he begins working hard to try to put together the divine message in common language, in simple terms for the people. A truth that is the greatest truth in existence. A greater truth than the truth of higher mathematics. A greater truth than the truth of complicated chemical and physical terms and concepts. The truth that is the ultimate truth, the absolute truth, the truth upon which all other truth is supported. The truth that evolves, that manifests all other truth. Now he has to take that perfect truth, that ultimate truth, that truth upon which all other truths are based, and then explain it in simple terms for people who are not educated, for people who perhaps never finished high school, many never finished grade school. So he has to struggle with concepts and terminology, with ideas, struggle with concepts and ideas and terminology that the people are not used to hearing, that they've never heard before, because they've never been taught these things. He has to struggle with this and present it in a package that their simple minds can grasp. And after struggling all night long and all day long, and then struggling before them to get them to see, that the reality is everywhere, that truth is everywhere, that you are a force for truth, that you are yourself an embodiment of truth, that you don't have to look outside of yourself. If you would just begin to radiate from within, radiate from without the things that you find within yourself, if you would stop smothering your own truth and let it come out, you'll see the light. And he struggled with the people. And many of them come around and look like new plants coming up out of the ground. And flowers look like beautiful flowers. And they look like the creation has been made. That here is God's creation. A miracle has been performed. He walk away and come back the next day and he find those flowers are the purple, dead-looking flowers of poison. And they are poisoning the garden, poisoning the atmosphere. Vines that are weed-like, struggling against the growth of the healthy things, choking out the wheat, as the Bible says. The tares choking out the wheat, killing the food of the congregation. Is that right? Yeah. So he looked at that and his heart is crushed. But God always come back to the good man and let him know that you don't have to fret over these useless, trashy people. Let them live on earth. They can't avoid what's coming after them. Leave them alone. They're on the right path to get what they are rightly due. I've lived on this earth not for many, many years, but I'm over 40 now. And I have to thank you for a nice celebration here in my honor. And I received a beautiful scroll, and I really appreciate it. I feel as though I had a big birthday celebration. And I really thank you for that. And I'm sure that those who have knowledge weren't celebrating my birthday. They were celebrating the birth of truth among them. And that's the real celebration. We don't fret and despair, grieve ourselves to death over the resistance that is put up by those false-natured, false-minded people, because Allah has shown us through the prophets, and especially through his last prophet, the universal prophet Muhammad, he has shown us the ways of the corrupted people and the liars, the hypocrites, and he has shown us that he is ever in command, that he's ever in charge of all affairs in the skies and on earth, and that we don't have to worry about the advances that the wicked world are making. For all of the advances are advances toward their doom. We know that in the life of the individual, and I have experienced it, I have witnessed it, judgment comes before he passes away. Many of us think that great deceivers, cruel taskmasters, monstrous tyrants that suppress and oppress and torture and cause the people to suffer unbearable things, we think because they live to see long life, 70, 80 years on earth, and pass out with their wealth and with their fame, we think that they have not been punished in life. And I've heard many of our tearful people grieving and weeping over their own condition and wondering why God would let such evil people live so long and progress so much in the earth and go out without being punished. Well, let me tell you, I can't bring those persons to you, dig them up out of the ground, and put them back into their forms, and give them their life back, and force them to tell you the truth. But let me tell you, you just have to take my word for it. Not a one pass out of this world physically without getting his punishment. He gets it in one form or the other. God doesn't have to take your wealth from you to punish you. He doesn't have to deny you your followers to punish you. He can let you keep your wealth and keep your fame with your hypocritical followers. The followers of a hypocrite, the followers of a liar, the followers of a tyrant are themselves artificial. You see? So God let them stay together. But don't think he didn't reach into the brain of that man and torture the chambers of his mind. Don't think that he didn't stick his hand into the chest of that man and choke and torture his heart for letting his heart and mind deviate from the path of truth. Every soul that come on this earth and commit evils against society, they are punished in this life, and the Holy Quran says, they shall be given a worse punishment in the next. The Holy Quran says that God says here that he will cause the beast to speak to them. You will remember the Bible's teaching on the beast. There are two pictures that come before my mind quite clearly now. One is the donkey who carries his master and sees before him an angel. This is the Bible, Old Testament, with a flaming sword in his hand. And when he sees the angel, the donkey stops. He stops and refused to carry his master any further. He speaks to the master and he says, "Why have you struck me these three times?" Then in the New Testament, there is the finale of the whole scene, the whole stage activity, from the serpent in the garden to the beast in the sea, in Revelations. And this beast is seen by the prophet going down into a lake of fire. Now, we know that picture language is a good way to get ideas over to people who are not acquainted with the language of abstract ideas or abstract things. So when you take these abstract ideas, these concepts and complicated descriptions of things, complicated explanations of things, give them to the people in picture language, they can grasp those ideas. So, long ago, the teachers discovered the simple fact that God, the Creator, not God and man, God, the Creator, that God, the Creator, is the best of teachers. And how did God the Creator teach the man? He taught the man first with pictures. When you open your eyes to this physical world, you see physical pictures. Before you can learn the language of your mother and your father, you have already begun reading some of the language of Almighty God. Is that right? And his language has begun to create you in your body before your mother and your father can ever reach you. Because they don't have the power to reach your mind before God reach your mind. Because God don't make you in their image. He makes you in the image that he chooses for you. Is that right? So they can't speak to you when you come fresh from the womb. But God began to speak to you. He showed you the light outside. And he contrasted and showed you darkness, is that right? He let you experience quiet in the womb of your mother for 9 months and then throw you out into a noisy world and speak to your mind with noise. Is that right? He speaks to you with extreme and began shaking you up inside, making the atoms of your being quicken and come into activity. So that your mind will begin turning over and over to try to understand what is this message God is trying to give me through my physical eyes, through my physical ears, through the physical flesh. What is God trying to say to me? And the book says God is trying to say to you that this is only the beginning of a marvelous creation.
The beast to speak.
to them. All right, let's move on. We should ask the question, why is the minister here? Why does the minister constantly come out here and force us to get back into our holy image? Why is the minister so determined to keep us with our hand on the handle of truth and our eyes looking at God, the author of truth? Why is he here insisting that we remain a congregation, an orderly congregation, and that we have leadership in an orderly society, that we have self-government in the individual, and that we respect government in the society and in the world? Why does the chief minister continue to insist upon these things? I give you the answer that all the servants of God gave from time without end. And that is this. There is a precious creation that God has made. That creation is the human essence, the human substance, the human nature, the human mind and soul and spirit. And those people, persons, who don't want to come into this nature, who don't want to be human beings, they long ago decided that they were going to keep human beings from coming into power on earth. And the human being stood up and he tried to fight the fight alone, but he couldn't make it, because those deceivers had got the jump on the human being. They were greedy for the physical world, so they got the physical materials before the human being could get strong on earth. They came into material power, and they used the superiority of physical weapons to keep the good people, the innocent people, under their feet. And the people prayed out to God, "Oh God, show us a way. Show us a way. Give us a way out of this prison cell that these materialist monsters have put us in. Give us a way out of this hell of moral corruption that these wicked sinners keep us in." And the book says God answered the prayer of the righteous caller. And he said, "Let me explain this thing to you." And he said that I said, before I made the human being, to the angels, that I'm going to make a ruler in the earth. I'm going to make him of mud, stinky earth. And I'm going to fashion that muddy, stinky earth into shape. See, and when I have breathed into that stinky, muddy, shaped human being of my own knowledge and wisdom, bow down, you angels, to my new creation. And the people prayed out to God, "Oh God, show us a way. Show us a way. Give us a way out of this prison cell that these materialist monsters have put us in. Give us a way out of this hell of moral corruption that these wicked sinners keep us in." And the book says God answered the prayer of the righteous caller. And he said, "Let me explain this thing to you." And he said that I said, before I made the human being, to the angel, that I'm going to make a ruler in the earth. I'm going to make him of mud, stinky earth. And I'm going to fashion that muddy, stinky earth into shape. See, and when I have breathed into that stinky, muddy, shaped human being of my own knowledge and wisdom, bow down, you angels, to my new creation. saying, when he said this, all the angels suddenly submitted. They said, oh God, we have no knowledge except that which you have given us. And they prostrated themselves and submitted to Adam. Not Adam, the pale, white-looking body that you've seen pictured in Bibles and in other sculptures and whatnot. Not that Sunday school, fairy tale, kindergarten kind of concept of man. We are talking about something greater than anything you can put in physical description, greater than you in your own physical description, greater than the whole humanity in physical description. For only one mind, only one heart, made in the image of God's ruler, is greater by himself than all the other human beings, only number billions on the earth. So we're talking about a particular kind of special kind of mind and heart and nature and spirit that God wanted to make to rule the earth. When he said this, all the angels submitted, but their chief did not submit. The leader of the angels refused to submit. And God said, what happened to you? He believed. He said, Malachi, what has happened to you? What is the matter with you? Oh, Iblis. That was his name, Iblis, you see. What has happened to you that you haven't submitted? All of your followers have submitted. And here you are, standing refusing to submit. He said, I'm better than he. Arrogance. Self-serving mentality. Thinking of himself before he think of what is right and what is best for the whole, he's thinking of himself. I'm better than you. You made me a fire and him a clay. Black, stinky earth fashioned into shape. Now who is this angel who was the leader of all the other angels, who had a nature that was not like those angels he was leading? For they had no nature. They confessed with their own words that they didn't have even the nature to disagree with God. They say, we don't have any knowledge except what you have given us. Now here the Holy Quran is using picture language, teaching as God teaches the baby when he first comes from the womb, giving him picture language to open his mind to a higher kind of language of truth. The angels are things that we conceive as having no physical form, invisible entities. Is that right? We find that in creation, there are many invisible things that have reality, that act on us from without and from within. Is that right? There is the forces of gravity, the forces of electricity, the forces of light. There are all kinds of forces. There are the hidden invisible forces of noise. We hear the noise, we can't see the noise. But there's also a force behind noise or in noise that affects the human being's nature. Not just the noise. The noise hits the physical eardrum. But there's also something of the noise that can affect your very nature. But it is invisible. So there are many, 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 many invisible entities in creation. Many that science had not yet discovered. And many that the science have already discovered, early man had not known. And early man thought that those invisible forces had some kind of reality like human reality. That they talked and conversed with each other. That they had wives and sons, husbands and sons and whatnot. But as the man came into more knowledge, he realized that these forces are only invisible forces in physical matter. And that these forces have direct relationship with the physical world. Is that right? All right. Now, when man comes into this knowledge, he takes on a life, a new life, And this light we call the light of knowledge, the light of science. Is that right? And when a person is learned or smart, we call him bright. Is that right? If he's anywhere, we might call him dull or dumb. Is that right? Why? Because this is the language that the world has given to us. They have translated physical light into terms to serve them, to serve the meaning for spiritual and rational life. Is that right? So in the religious language, we have light meaning spiritual life, spiritual knowledge, or deeper knowledge into the nature of things that are physical. Is that right? All right. And the physical world have their knowledge, and they refer to it also as light. But they don't use the term light anymore, but we still use the term bright for a smart person. Is that right? All right. So God, with this language, he wants to bring pictures to our minds that will enable us to understand a higher concept, a higher reality, or a higher language of that reality. So he says that the leader of the angel refused. Who became the leader of the angel? Had he always been the leader of angels? Well, in his creation he was. But man had to grow to become leader over the angels. Though he had the substance, the essence, he had the potential, the capacity to become the leader of angels, yet he had to grow in the earth as an inferior and become the master or the leader over the angels. Is this not the scripture? All right, you preachers who know, you know I'm on the track of clear truth. All right. Okay, so this particular leader over these angels is none other than mind. Mind has to live on earth and grow into the knowledge of creation. For when God brings mind into the physical world, mind knows nothing. Not that mind doesn't have anything, but God causes mind to go into a deep sleep, as the Genesis says. Then he caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. Is that right? And while he was in a deep sleep, God made Eve. What does that mean? It means that God brings man into existence on earth, knowing nothing. Although in his cells, in the genetics of his cells, there is something. There is knowledge. There is knowledge of his past. You study these things in high school and college, you know I'm on the path of light and truth. Is that right? All right. So the man comes here knowing nothing, but he has come under a deep sleep. He has lost contact with the reality of his existence before God put him into the shape that he's now in, delivered from his mother's womb. Is that right? Not that he existed before. No, he didn't exist before. But his essence exists before. His essence came from a body that was existing long, long, long time ago. Is that right? The body of creation. The body of human flesh. Is that right? This creation and human flesh has been in existence for a long, long time. And my essence that I get from my father's sperm and from my mother's ovaries is in me. And it came out of them. And those genes and the knowledge that was in those genes of my mother and father and in their relatives and in their ancestors, all the way back to the first creature that walked this earth, has been transferred to me. Maybe not all of it, but in the sperm came some of it. In from the ovaries of the mother came some of it. From the blood and from the body of the mother came some of it. Is that right? So I have some, a part of me, something that that is a part of many, many things in the earth and in the people. Extending all back in time over many, 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 many centuries. Thousands of years into time. But when God brings me out of my mother's womb, I know nothing. Because God, as Genesis says, put me in a deep sleep. Is that right? All right. And then he decides that I'm going to teach you all over again. I'm going to give humanity another chance. Every time a new baby is born, God has given humanity another chance to stand up and be right, to be truthful, to be honest. And he gives us another chance by blotting out all the past. Is that right? And let us start out fresh again. The scientists say, those psychoanalysts, people in the field of psychiatry, they say that you can get the mind of a person and cause that person to retract, to regret, pardon me, in time. Backstep in time. And keep connecting known things with known things. And they say that they have proven that they can go back into the early, early years, sometime into the first month of the life of the child, and get evidence, get knowledge of what happened. Some say they even can go back and get knowledge of what happened in the womb. And even others say that they can go back and get knowledge of what happened even before he took the germ took life in the womb of the mother. Now, I don't know how much of that distance is true, but I do know you can go back and find truth behind you or far distance behind you. Truth that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to get. All right. So God says, I'm going to make a ruler in the earth. And the angel, the chief of the angels, said, no, I'm not going to accept him. This chief of the angels is the mind of man who has come into power because of his knowledge of material things, of the material world. He has learned how to work the forces of nature. He's learned how to use the forces of fire, the forces of light, the forces of magnetism, the forces of gravity, the force of heat, the force of lightning, the force of sound. He has learned how to use these things to put himself into a high position of authority and ride on a big horse through the land and command the others as his servants and slaves. Is that right? He's the leader of the angels. When thunder claps and makes it loud noise and lightning flash and frighten the caveman back into his cave, this chief on the horse, he rides as though there's no fear in him. Because he has gotten in touch with the reality of the angel in the thunder and the angel in the lightning, and he knows that they serve him and that he has no reason to fear. Is that right? All right. Not to say he can't meet with a fatal accident, but he knows the chances of such an accident is very, very rare. So he goes bravely through the land while other men are running under caves and behind rocks for cover. Is that right? So this is the angel who leads the other angel. For he himself is both angel and man. For in man are both the invisible forces, and also you can see the visible being. And man has to act in the nature of the physical world, as the physical forces cannot get out of the nature of the physical world. But man himself, to a certain degree, cannot get out of the nature of the physical world. Is that right? And when we come up first in the earth, before we come into civilization, into the knowledge of the world, we are just like animals. We're just like trees and plants. We cannot get out of the nature of the physical world. But as our knowledge increases, we learn how to break the chains and the gravity of physical world and get away from the law of nature and come into a man's law. Is that right? We step above the natural law and make a claim for ourselves and call it man's law. Is that right? All right. But he has to come from that simple, simple origin. He has to come from the same nature that the creation is of. So he, in his beginning, was an angel. Is that right? But he grows in knowledge and becomes the leader of the angels. And when he gets to think of himself as being the boss in creation, that I have no force to answer to, I am my own boss. And if God raised up a man among them, and this man began to question their knowledge, question their conduct. Say, who are you? And then God revealed it to his prophet, saying to the angels, God has decided to make a ruler in the land, not one of fire. Your knowledge is the nature of fire. Fire burns up things. Fire trips things out of their natural form. Is that right? Fire causes things to degenerate, to deteriorate, breaks the loose, what we call it, disintegration. Brings about disintegration of things. And destroy form and create new form. We throw a piece of fat in the fire and we end up with some grease and some smoke. Is that right? So when God created his man and said, I'm not going to make him the ruler in the land. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to burn the world too. But with a new kind of fire. His fire shall be the fire of pure light. Light doesn't destroy the form of things. Light reveals the form of things. Is that right? It is different than fire. The light just shows you what that is. So God is not going to force a devil to come back into good form. He's only going to shine the light on the devil and let the world see and let the devil see that you are out of form. Is that right? And he's not going to change the human nature. He doesn't want to make a human being an angel, a spook flying around somewhere in no world. He's just going to shine the light on the real thing that he created and show you there's a reality that I made to exist. Let it come to being. So brothers and sisters, our distinguished and honored guests, all of you, today I can bravely say, without any ounce of doubt or darkness in my mind, that we don't have any human problem today that we can't conquer. The time of darkness and falsehood and Satan is over. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world and he said that this is not my world. This is Satan's world. Well, I can tell you that Muhammad was here 1400 years ago, and because of the expansion of that truth, and the extension of that truth, and the perfection and the completion of the prophet's teaching in Prophet Muhammad, and because of the blessing upon a nappy-headed, brown-faced black man, as I am called, because of the blessings upon this man, a follower of Master Farad Muhammad, a follower of the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, and an independent leader today, because of the blessings upon me, Satan doesn't rule this world anymore. The book says he will cause the beast, make the beast to speak to them. I'm here to tell you that all those prophecies have come to pass. The flood has already taken place. The raining of fire and brimstone have already happened. The poisoning of the air, the land, the waters, the poisoning of the very breath that the people breathe have already happened. The plagues have already came. Armageddon has long been in rage. The Armageddon has been going on for a long time. Gog and Magog have already met, and the battle is almost finished. The greatest part of it, most of you have missed. We only have now the fallout, the residue, to clean up. God has already
already fought the battle and won the war. Nations have lost their courage. Great leaders have lost their courage. They just can't come before us on the TV anymore and boast of the power that they have. Nations have lost their daring spirit. They don't know how to come before us now and threaten us and frighten us into holes like we're a little dirt animals. They come before us now and they try to maintain some sense and some faith of dignity and respect.